All right. So, I'm kind of continuing on a new sermon series that I started last week, and it's called Hearing the Voice of God. Hearing the Voice of God. And this morning, I want to talk about kind of the spiritual mindset. I mean, picture this. John and James both attend church on Sunday. Every Sunday they come. They listen to the same messages every single Sunday. John, he's maturing in his faith. He's learning to walk in the Spirit. His life, if you look at it, you see it. It's productive. It's fruitful. It's just, you see Jesus in him. Now, James comes to the same exact service that John does. But James isn't growing. He doesn't share his faith. He's not productive. You don't see Jesus in his life. You don't see the fruit. Is that possible? Well, I mean, how can you find a husband and a wife who both go to the same service, hear the same messages, and one is growing but the other one isn't? I mean, it would be like having two different students kind of read the same book. One comes away like totally excited about what they read, and the other one is completely unmotivated. I mean, is it possible that we come to God with certain mindsets that actually determine what our response is going to be? See, could it be that we have either already mentally or spiritually decided what we will listen to? And because of that, it causes us potentially to ignore what we need to hear the most. See, I believe our spiritual mindset in hearing and really applying scriptural truth, it actually greatly affects our ability to hear from God. Now, this morning, let me give you some background where we're going to be planted this morning. We're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. So if you want to turn there, you can start going there. We'll have the scriptures behind so you can read them along with us. And basically, you're going to find that Jesus is teaching the people. And Jesus, when he's normally teaching the people, he uses kind of a literary device that you would call a parable, a story. And Jesus used them all the time. And he intentionally did stories that he knew the people there would understand. He always tries to take life from their perspective. And he knew that a number of the people that he would be teaching that day were farmers. And so Jesus tells a story that if you were a farmer, you would immediately identify with, you'd understand, and it actually would become very personal to you. Now, Jesus is actually, the story we're going to be looking at this morning is talking about sewing. Now, I'm not talking like thread and needle and fabric. I mean, that's not what we're talking about this morning. This is actually called sowing seed. Now, like I said, if you're a farmer, you knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. He actually will begin to talk about different experiences and just how you grow vegetables. Now, to us, a lot of us here aren't farmers, and we wouldn't have understood a lot of what he was trying to get across, but you'll learn that because of this, Jesus actually gives explanations on what the parable was all about. So if you're there in Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to start in verse 3. So Matthew 13, verse 3, it says, Then he told them many things using stories. He said, a farmer went out to plant his seed. Now, the interesting thing that you're going to find is that the plot of land that Jesus is going to be talking about there in this scripture, it usually was kind of a narrow strip of ground. And it was basically an area that the Israelite farmers, they would go out and they would try to clear out the rocks and the thorns. And it was usually pretty large in size. Now, in between all these fields, they would have these pathways that would allow the donkeys and basically just the people to walk by without destroying the very crops they were trying to plant. Now, the interesting thing is they literally would walk down these pathways and they would throw out the seeds. And they would kind of let the wind kind of you know, I don't know if you've ever done grass seed before, and sometimes I do that on my own. I literally will take handfuls and I'll just kind of throw it and let the kind of wind kind of blow it, and it kind of covers an area. Sometimes what they would do as well is the donkeys that they would have, they would put a sack on the donkey, they would cut a hole in the actual sack, and they'd have the donkey kind of walking around, and the donkey, you know, would basically be pouring the seed everywhere, because some of these, you know, areas were huge. They didn't have a lot of the modern technologies that we have today. It was basically donkey power, and after a while, their hands probably got tired from throwing it, so they did it easier. Now, the interesting thing is sometimes the wind would carry that seed, and it would sometimes blow into areas that wasn't prepared. They didn't expect the seed to go there. Or sometimes, as the donkeys were kind of crossing over the pathways to get to different fields, the seed would fall into the hard path. So, now, like I said, these are people that understood this. And so, you'll see what I mean. They understood what Jesus was trying to get. Now, what I want to cover this morning, though, is all through this story, Jesus is dealing with different mindsets about different people. So the first one that I want to cover this morning, it's called the closed mind. So you're already with me in Matthew chapter 13. Let's start in verse 4, the closed mind. He scattered the seed on the ground. Some fell on a path. Birds came and ate it up. Now, let me stop there. The interesting thing about this parable, Jesus really didn't do this. But after he did this story, the disciples were like, I have no clue what the heck you're trying to talk about. So even though they were farmers, they were like, we don't understand what you're trying to say. Jesus actually then, right after this story, he gives his own explanation of the story. So if you skip down to verse 19, you actually see Jesus' explanation on it. It says, the people hear the message about the kingdom, but do not understand it. Then the evil one comes. He steals what was planted in their hearts. Those people are like the seed planted on a path. And that's what Jesus is describing. He's describing people with a closed mind. And I'm actually learning that this story isn't just about those who've never heard about Jesus before and they're hearing him for the first time. You know, that's not, I've actually learned that this story actually is just as valuable and just as important for those who are in church every single Sunday. That the mindsets that Jesus is going to talk about through this whole parable actually affect us. These could be people that, you know, go to church every Sunday, read the Bible. They may even do extra stuff like listening to sermons online, on the internet, on TV. But see, a closed-minded person is someone who decides what he's going to hear and what he's not going to hear. That's the definition of a closed-minded person. He shuts his mind to anything that demands something that he doesn't want to give. Matter of fact, those are the people who will just sit passively and listen. Matter of fact, they probably have sat through a number of different sermons, but they have no intent at all of actually applying what was said or even changing their behavior at all. Their minds are closed. Because they've heard the truth so many times, but they've never responded to that truth. Now, I'm going to tell you, that is probably one of the most dangerous positions to be in. Why? Because their hearts have become hard. Those people kind of grow passive in their listening. They aren't taking the initiative to respond to what they're hearing. Matter of fact, when these people hear, I mean, it's like the seed dropping on what is considered to be a hard path. No chance of growing at all. Matter of fact, it lies, the Bible kind of describes it, it kind of lies in the open where any animal can come, grab it, and it's food for them. They steal it. I mean, think about it from a, you know, if you threw seed onto a walkway or a dirt path that was hard, people would just walk on it and crush whatever was potentially trying to grow. Matter of fact, think of it this way, and some of you as parents may have actually seen your children do this. Have you ever, especially if you're like a younger child, try to tell them something you want them to do, something you want them to avoid, and they've literally stuck their fingers in their ears, and like, I'm not, you know, the really stubborn ones. I mean, some of us have had some pretty hard, And it's kind of cool that it's, you know, it's the hard-hearted or the hard-headed kind of children. And they literally will put their hands over their ears and they're like, I'm not listening. And of course, that always works really well, you know, for them. But it's, and the reason why they're doing it is because they don't like something you're saying, right? I mean, so they've heard the truth and it's likely something that we want them to do or we don't want them to do. And they just don't want to hear it anymore. And that's, see, passive listeners, they listen up to a point. And then, I guess you'd say, they hedge their commitments. Now, what do I mean by that? What do I mean by hedge their commitments? Well, when you hedge your commitment, it means that you're trying to avoid being all in. You're trying to avoid 100% commitment. You want to leave a way of escape. You want to leave a way for you to get out of something if you don't like it. Now, the interesting thing is we'll actually find a lot of passive listeners at church. You really do. Because when absolute obedience is talked about, when absolute obedience to God is demanded, their mind literally shuts off. It's like as soon as the pastor goes in that direction, they're on Facebook. They're texting other people. I can almost see you. Trust me, I actually do see you guys. I see phones and all that. I can see when people kind of shut off. I'm not saying don't use your phones. Don't go down that. What I'm saying is I can almost sometimes see when people shut down and they don't want to hear what's being preached. I really do. I really do. I'm not kidding. And I've learned that thousands of people go to church with kind of that stubborn mindset. Even before they arrived, they've already determined what they're willing to listen to and what they're not willing to listen to. They're already determined that I will listen to messages as long as it doesn't get too personal. As soon as it gets too personal, then I'm closing down. You're not allowed in there anymore. When the requirements of commitment to God become too demanding, you know what happens? They stop. See, it almost, that's the way of putting it, it's like minds become callous. Why would I say that? It's because they heard it so often without obeying what God has asked them to do that their hearts and their minds literally become hard. And that's what they're describing here, is that because their minds have become callous, you know, the word of God is kind of thrown to them, it hits and it doesn't sink in. And the Bible talks that literally it allows Satan to come and steal that truth from you. It's not given enough time to penetrate your heart and to begin to grow. Now, unfortunately, what happens to people like that is that when the bottom kind of falls out in their life or tragedy of sometimes, you know, happens, it strikes, and they finally do cry out to God, you know, because that's what happens. You know, when tragedy strikes, I mean, usually that's the first person we run to. We run to God. God, help! You know? And they're running to the God that they've refused to listen to now for years, who's tried to put certain truth inside them. And they find it strange that they have a hard time now hearing and understanding from God. They're like, God, why can't I hear you? Why can't I? Aren't you listening, God? And it isn't because God hasn't been listening all that time. It's because you have allowed the callousness of your heart to overcome you to where his word can't penetrate inside you anymore. I actually have warned people this, and as a pastor, you know, people kind of look at me funny when I say this, but I've actually warned people that church is a very dangerous place to attend passively. It really is. It's actually dangerous to go to church with the already of the mindset in place saying, I'm only going to listen to certain truth. Because the Bible is pretty specific. It says, he who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. And so, trust me, I can promise you that when you come to church, you're going to learn truth. You're going to learn what God says in the Bible. You're going to learn what, you know, God says you must do. God said he's going to be very specific on things you're not supposed to do. And it's going to now be there for you to either ignore or to respond to. The more times that you ignore it, the harder your heart becomes. All right, let me jump to the second mindset. The second mindset, I would call it the cloudy mind. The cloudy mind. So verse 5, it says, some seed fell on rocky places where there wasn't much soil. The plants came up quickly because the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it burned the plants. They dried up because they had no roots. And then we'll jump down to verse 20, which kind of gives Jesus' interpretation of the story. Verse 20, it says, others received the seed that fell on rocky places. They are those who hear the message and at once receive it with joy. But because they have no roots, so they last only a short time. They quickly fall away from the faith when trouble or suffering comes because of the message. See, the problem that happened, especially with the Palestinian farmers, is they had these huge plots of land that they were trying to prepare for crops. And so, like I said, they didn't have tractors. They didn't have plows and a lot of those kind of things. So a lot of them, you know, from a preparing standpoint, they were trying to get what was obvious. If a rock was sticking up through the ground, they would remove the rock. If, you know, they saw thorns and things like that, they would remove them. So they kind of did, since it's a huge area, they would do the best they could with what they saw. But see, they didn't have the time to dig down deep and to find all the rocks. And so what they found often would happen is there would be areas where it would just be very shallow dirt. They didn't know that. They planted their seeds, and this problem actually would happen to them all the time. Now, think about it this way. Closed-minded hearers, they listen to the Word of God initially, and they get really excited. They do. Matter of fact, they trust Jesus as their Savior. You know, matter of fact, they are just so happy that God saved them. They're just happy that this is someone who's going to forgive me. This is someone who's going to set me free from my past. This is someone who is going to allow me to have the promise of heaven someday. They're excited. I mean, matter of fact, they're some of the happiest people to be around because they're just, I guess you'd say, enjoying the thrill of the ride. But the problem is they don't actually take the time to study the scripture and actually sink their roots in deep. They don't actually take time to develop godly relationships with other people who are going to help them clean out their lives, who will become accountable with, who will be able to point out different things that would allow them to make their life more Christ-like. They find that they're not attached to anything. No depth in their relationship with God. So when the heat comes, they just wither and die. Matter of fact, this is why so many Christians fall apart the first time that they experience any type of crisis in their life. They just rip apart at the seams. I mean, look, these are people that will be the most joyful people. They're just excited about what God's doing in their life. And then any storm comes, it devastates them. It's because their mind has become so weighted down, you know, with confusion and unbelief that when a storm happens, they don't have the depth to understand what's going on or how to trust God or how to position their life in a way where God can do a work inside them. Their lack of, I guess you'd almost call it spiritual exercise, it's made them flabby. Their hearts and their minds are weak. And so any form of crisis or tragedy in their life, it basically brings them to their knees. It's not just brand new Christians this happens to. I've seen this happen to people, and it surprises me. They've been in church for years, but they've never developed a deeper relationship with God. And that first tragedy that comes, and they're devastated, and they question God, and they leave. I've learned it's one thing to accept God, But see, if you don't have the foundation underneath that experience, you're in trouble. We need to be constantly renewing our minds. We need to be constantly grounding ourselves in the Word of God. We need to be willing to allow ourselves to be examined by other people intentionally, to allow them to say, dude, there's a rock there. There's a stone underneath that surface. And if you don't pluck that out, that's going to stop you from digging deep into the Word of God. That's going to stop you. You know, look, stones make really pretty rock walls. They do. I love rock walls. I think they look awesome. Stones in a garden, they're not good. They're just taking up space. They don't allow roots to go down deep. You know, you may have things in your life that you think are pretty. They're beautiful rocks, but they're rocks. They are stopping you from being able to dig down deep roots in God. And you know what? That's hindering you. It's actually going to cause your relationship with God to be very shallow. So you know what? When that first storm comes, the heat comes, you're going to dry up and wither. I'm not kidding. It could be a job. It could be a relationship. It could be a newfound financial boon in your life. It could be lots of things in your life that, you know what? They're rocks. Yeah, but God put that in my life. Yeah, but just because God put it in your life doesn't mean that it can necessarily be a good thing if it actually hurts your relationship with God. I know I didn't expect a lot of amens on that, but that's true. There were sometimes good things that happen in our life that we say, wow. And you know what? It could totally be a God thing. But if it's pulling you further from Him, pull out the rock. Remove the rock, because you got to let your roots go down deep. Matter of fact, I mean, think about it this way. Let's admit this. Most shallow relationships, they don't last very long, do they? Shallow ones, I bet there are a number of people here who can probably, in your mind, you can think of different people that you have a shallow relationship with. You know, you bump into them in a party. You know, you're not running away from them. Matter of fact, they're probably fun. You know, hey, how you doing? Haven't seen you in forever, you know. But know that that's not the person you're going to be calling when your marriage falls apart, right? That's not the person you have deep roots with, you know, that you can call when the storms come, when it gets really hot outside. I mean, how many relationships that are shallow with the first controversy, it ends? It's because the roots aren't deep. Look, it is not abnormal for this to happen in your life, especially if you're a new Christian. It isn't. But see, it should be an identified stage that happens where other mature Christians around you, they're pointing out things like, buddy, you don't see that rock? That's got to get dug out. If you don't do that, it's going to stop you from growing in God. You know why that doesn't happen? It's because we don't develop good, godly Christian relationships around us who allow people to say, bud, if you allow that in your marriage, it's going to destroy you. If you allow that in your finances, it's going to destroy you. If you allow that part of your job to take over this part, that removes your ability to dive into the Word of God. That removes your ability to grow roots that are going to go down deep. Jesus is not just a temporary thrill. He's not your get-out-of-hell-free card. He's not. And people, sometimes their relationship with God is just based on that fact. I'm just so happy that He saved me. I'm just so happy that He healed me. I'm just so happy that He... You know what? Great, be happy about it. But you know what? If level of obedience doesn't follow the happiness, you're shallow. Think about it. If you had a relationship with someone and they just used you, what would you say? Get out of here. There's no fruit involved in this. You would get frustrated after a period of time, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder how many times God's been like, man, really? Look, most of us have heard a number of sermons, right? We have. How much do you remember? Are you listening with a cloudy mind, or are you listening for God to add another significant truth to your life that you can immediately apply? Are we using it as an opportunity to let our spiritual roots to burrow down deep? See, God speaks to us during our sermons. God speaks to us during our quiet time when we're having devotionals with Him. God speaks to us when we're just quiet before Him and He just talks to us. It's during those times where our roots should be going down. All right, let me go to the third one. Cluttered mind. A cluttered mind. Verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and crowded out the plants. We're going to skip down to verse 22. This is Jesus' interpretation. So verse 22. Others received the seed that fell among the thorns. They are those who hear the message, but then the worries of this life and the false promises of wealth crowd it out. They keep it from producing fruit. So it's their minds are just filled. Look at it this way. He comes to church, sits down to pray. Maybe this is at a Bible study. And as God begins to speak to him, all of a sudden his mind begins to race. You know, maybe thoughts like, oh, did I feed the dog? Or maybe all of a sudden, you know, wow, that actually was a good breakfast I had this morning. You know, or boy, man, my back is hurting this morning. You know, or, you know, that is the fifth time in a row we've sung that song at worship. Why are we, what, you guys can't pick new songs? Five times in a row. You know, the cluttered mind is always full of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's what the cluttered mind's full of. You know, it's full of things, people, money, business, school. Look, we have huge thorny bushes inside of our mind that suffocate out the voice of God. Satan will bombard your mind time and time again when you are positioning yourself to hear from God. It becomes difficult for God to speak to our hearts when our minds become cluttered with so many things. Look, have you ever just sat down and tried to have some quiet time with God? You're a couple minutes in, and then boom, all of a sudden you're in vacation planning mode. I mean, you've been praying, and then all of a sudden you're thinking about your vacation. Then you're like, oh, what am I doing? Stop it. All right. And so you're kind of like, all right, so where was I? And then like 15 seconds later, you're like, man, my husband should not have said that to me, you know, and you're, no, stop, all right, you know. So you try to refocus yourself yet again, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, but man, that sandy beach, oh, it felt so good, and you're like, what am I doing? And then you look at your watch, crap, 2 minutes, I got to go to work. And so then you say a quick list of all the things you want God to do in your life, you maybe read one verse of scripture, and boom, you're out the door. I know that doesn't happen to you guys, but it does sometimes happen in your life. Look, I just want you to know, you're normal. It's true, you are normal. Look, it's natural and normal to think about those things. Satan will do all he can to kind of detour your mind away from the important things at hand, which is listen to what God's got to say. That's why it's so important for our hearts to be prepared. Or we're going to miss what God wants to speak to us at that point in our life. Now, how do we deal with this? How do you fight that? I mean, well, one of the best ways is to quickly bring your attention back to God just kind of by changing the gears a little bit. Let's say you are praying, you know, and your mind's going all over the place. Well, open the book of Psalms. Start reading some of the Psalms. Allow the Word of God to penetrate inside you. Or maybe you were... maybe your eyes, you know, you're reading the Bible and you're just starting to drowse. You're starting literally to fall asleep. It's early in the morning. You know, you wanted to dedicate that time to God. And you know what? If you're starting to drowse off, then stand up, start singing a song of praise. As a matter of fact, the Psalms talk about often how God inhabits the praises of his people. What we need to do is we need to understand and remove. See, we spend so much time just packing our minds full of stuff. I mean, they say that we live in the information age, that we have the most powerful, we know everything. Everything's at our fingertips. You know what? That sounds like a great thing, but you know what I'm learning? It's not. Because you know what? Your minds never rest. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you try to go to sleep and your mind's going a mile a minute because of this that happened and this thing happened and I learned that and this person said that and I got to do that tomorrow and what about next month and where is this bill going to come from? And she really should not have talked to me that way. I mean, and all this stuff is going on in your mind. There's a reason why we need to quiet time, that we need to simplify our life, that we need to begin to understand priorities of what we want and where we're going to go and what we're going to do. Our life is too full and our minds are too full. And you know, your quiet time and alone time with God is competing with too many things. You know what weeds need to be done? You got to pluck them out. I was talking to Gene this morning about it. I've been doing my lawn, and you know what? How many of you have this on your lawn? You have these really big weeds that have these long, like, I don't even know what kind of, it's probably a dandelion or something, but they have these really broad leaves. I go up to it, I kind of scoop all the way around it, I rip it out, I can get the dumb thing out, but then you know what I find? Just a dirt patch. It's literally choked out every single bit of, you know, nutrients. There's no grass left. It's just this patch of dirt. I mean, hopefully eventually it kind of grows back in, but that's what the weeds do. Weeds are there and they fight for the nutrients that your body needs, that your spirit needs. And we spread ourselves out so thin and we wonder how he can hear you. Well, he's going to scream in order to get your attention sometimes because of everything that's going on in our life. I have a cluttered sermon, like too much. All right, the last one, committed mind. Matthew 13, verse 8, a committed mind. Still other seed fell on good soil. It produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times more than what was planted. And then Jesus' interpretation, it's pretty simple. Verse 23, but still others received the seed that fell on good soil. They are those that hear the message and understand it. They produce a crop 160 or 30 times more than the farmer planted. A committed mind, basically it's pictured as fertile soil. Fertile soil. Now, what I want to talk to you about is how do you prepare your minds to become fertile soil? If you want God to be able to speak to you, then how do you prepare your soil so it doesn't have to deal with all the stuff that we just talked about? Well, number one, the ground's got to be broken up where the seed can penetrate the soil and become covered. So the ground has to be broken up where the seed can penetrate the soil and become covered. You know what that is basically saying? The mind has to become teachable. This can either be a lot of work or this can be a little work depending on how hard the soil is. I mean, I remember when I was trying to plant a garden. Look, you know, there are different parts of my lawn where it's been walked on so much, it is as hard as a rock, even though it's soil. I literally have to go out there with my pickaxe in order to break that stuff up. And then there's other parts that with a shovel or a trowel, I can easily plant something in it. Now, if you've been spending years of your life allowing things to pack you down, it may take more than just a trowel in order to open up your heart to allow God in. Remember, Proverbs 13, verse 18. Proverbs 13, verse 18, it says, those who turn away from their training become poor and ashamed. But those who accept warnings are honored. See, by learning to receive teaching from others that you can see, you'll actually learn it becomes much easier to receive teaching from those you can't see. You know what that means? Is that you're going to have to allow people in your life. You have to allow godly people in your life to be able to speak to you, to be able to point out areas in your life where it has become hard. And what that means is being humble enough to allow them to do it. Number two, the rocks and the weeds have to be removed, which gives the roots the ability to grow deep and actually not compete over the same nutrients. See, rocks and weeds are a constant problem. You know what I've learned in my lawn is rocks are always moving up. It seems every year I find more rocks in my lawn. Because they're constantly being driven to the top toward the surface. And weeds, they're a constant problem. They're always growing everywhere. See, without the Word of God as a solid foundation, you will find it difficult to determine what is God, what is someone else, and what is the enemy inside your mind. So that's why I love, I mean, say it probably in so many different sermons, is Psalms 119:11. I know my kids have memorized it. Memorize it. It says, I've hidden your word in my heart so I won't sin against you. Make sure that you actually have the ability to determine what is a rock and what is a weed in your life. If you do not have the ability to do that, look, either it's going to stop you from having your roots grow deep, because it might be a rock, or you know what it's going to do as a weed? It's going to suck the nutrients and that you need in order to grow in God. See, what weeds do is they take away the nutrients. They take away basically the energy that you need in order to enhance your relationship with God. Now, some of you may think, Pastor, that's harsh. Is that person really a weed in my life? Yes. If they are stopping or hindering your relationship with God, it is. But Pastor, God put that person in my life. It doesn't matter. If it's hurting your relationship with God, that means that relationship is being done in a way that doesn't honor God. Change the relationship. If the relationship is not willing to change, end the relationship. Oh, Pastor, you can't. Look, either God is the most important thing in your life or he isn't. I'll say that again. Either God is the most important thing in your life or he isn't. But Pastor, I get lonely. But Pastor, you know, this is the first person that's shown good interest in me. Pastor, this is a family member. I've known them forever. If they are sucking the life out of you, if they are hindering your ability to have a deep relationship with God, what's more important, God or the person? Pastor, does it have to be one or the other? You cannot serve both God and fill in the blank, because you will end up loving one and hating the other. Dad, that wasn't even the direction I was going to go with this, but you have to guard your heart from things that block out God in your life. The things that are slowly removing his influence from you. You have to remove them. All right. Finally, the last one. The best soil are the ones that are full of fertilizer. They are. The best soil are the ones that are full of fertilizer. And what's the best fertilizer for your mind? The Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit not only gives us the power to be his witnesses, but it provides wisdom. It provides love. It gives everything that we need to make sure that what we're doing is following after God with everything that's inside us. I mean, look at it. My lawn grows pretty well without fertilizer. Man, when I put the fertilizer out there, you know, the weed and feed, baby, that sucker grows. And it's almost annoying because I have to start mowing it a lot more often because it just comes up out of nowhere. But I'm telling you, when you allow the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, when you begin to walk step in step and allow him to speak truth to you, when you allow him to say, no, that's the way. No, end that. No, do more of this. No, go this direction. When you have that working inside you, your life will just begin to show life in areas that seem dead. When you rip out those weeds and you see that bald spot, you know what? That's when you throw it on the fertilizer. That's when you overseed. That's when you water the heck out of that lawn because you want life. You want to see where it was dead before. You want to see life to come out. If you look at your life and say, God, I see these bald spots. I see a dead spot here. I see a dead spot here. Well, you know what? Spend some quiet time in the presence of God and say, God, fall. God, change whatever you want. God, if there's roots that need to be ripped out from that weed, then do it. If I need to take a shovel or a pickaxe to that area, then God, so be it. It's either he's God or he's not. Either he's the most important thing in your life or he's not. So look, Matthew 13, verse 9. Those who have ears should listen. Should listen. Look, you could approach this sermon from a closed-minded perspective. Pastor, you got too personal. How dare you mess with that finance or that marriage or that relationship or, you know, so I just shut you out. Look, you could have a hard, closed mind, and you're not going to allow the Word of God to penetrate. Look, you may have a cloudy mind. Say, you know, Pastor, I'm just all about love, peace, and joy. You know, don't ruin my ride. You know, I love Jesus. He loves me. No, allow the Word of God to create a depth in you where the roots go down so deep. So not if, but when the heat comes, you're not going to get shriveled up. You're not going to wither and die. You have no idea the heart to watch people who you know their roots aren't deep and the storm came and they're mad at God or they're mad at this person and they leave and it's tragic. Look, you may have approached it with a cluttered mind. And to be honest, half of what I've taught this morning, you didn't even get because you're dreaming about your next vacation. As soon as I said vacation, I lost you for 15 minutes. You know? Or I talked about that argument with the spouse and you were in your mind saying, yeah, but I was right and she was wrong and I lost you for another 5. Look, when you have a cluttered mind, it chokes God out. It does. It chokes out what God needed to put inside you in order for you to grow healthy and strong. By making sure we have a committed mindset to God and doing our part, it's doing our part to prepare the soil so we can effectively hear from God. We can be sure that we have the wisdom and the direction necessary to make sure that we're always following after Him. And I'm telling you, this is the part that I think we as Christians, and I'll end with this, that we fail the most. It's not having the godly relationships in our life where we've allowed ourselves to be open, where people can look inside and say, buddy, why are you doing that? Stop. Because we just get offended. Dude, don't look at my life. That's personal. Don't talk about my relationship. Look, your relationship with God is not personal. It's not. You're part of a family. And you know what? It's family business. Because you know what? When you're hurting, I'm hurting. And when you're flying like a kite, I'm flying like a kite. We serve together. Look, you're the vine and we're the branches. We're all in this together. When people just say, no, I want to be a tumbleweed. No, I want to be this little sprout all by myself and I'm just going to kind of grow and just, I don't want to, people bug me, people annoy me, you know, and this person always gets in my business. Or can I just pick the family members that I want to talk to and be around? No, you can't. We need each other. Why? Because sometimes iron sharpens iron. And you know what? It's not gentle sometimes. Have you ever seen a knife and a sharpening stone? It hurts. You ever seen fire applied to gold? It hurts. When you have someone sharpening you, you know when you sharpen a knife, parts of the knife come off. That's how it gets sharper. You have little bits and pieces that are now on the floor. So when God's chiseling you, or you know what? Someone else is rubbing up against you like sandpaper, it doesn't tickle. We need to be willing to allow people in our life to say, buddy, that weed's killing you. And you know what? I'm going to risk losing this friendship over you, but this weed is killing you. That root wants to grow, but that rock's got to go first, or you'll never dig down deep enough in God. You'll never will. And you know what? We get so worried about offending people. Yeah, but if I say that, I'm going to offend them, and then I've lost my influence with them, and then they won't listen to me anymore. How many of you have ever been afraid of that? I don't want to speak that word to someone because it could hurt their feelings. You know, look, I've had this level of influence. I've been working on being a good friend, and so if I confront that sin in their life, they're going to be like, oh, that's sacred. We are not friends anymore. Look, I've been there. I've been worried about that. I've even been worried about that with my own brother and sister who are blood family. I've been worried about saying, don't do that. That's bad. That's going to hurt you. But you know, which would you rather have happen? Them fall off the cliff and die? Them end up in hell someday? But you saved that friendship. You're still best buds. We need people in our life that love us so much that they're willing to risk a friendship and a relationship in order to save your life. To say, buddy, that root is killing you. And if you do that for another year, your marriage is done. You do that for another year, you can just kiss that job goodbye. If you do that for another year, you will fall back into drugs and alcohol. It will grab its... Don't you need that in your life? I'm telling you, those are valuable. But you know what? If you haven't developed those kind of relationships, you won't have that person jumping in to save your marriage. You won't have that person jumping in to say, bud, stop. Stop drinking. I know you thought it was casual, but it's now become every day. If you don't have those relationships in your life, you won't have the people around you who even know to look for the rocks and the weeds. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Look, we're the body of Christ. We're the family of Christ. Look, we all got warts. You know what? A lot of you are annoying. I'm annoying sometimes. It's the truth. We are. But we're still family. We should be loving each other. We should be supporting each other. We should be doing our best to help each other get through life. Because you know what? I want to be standing before God someday and they say, Sam Bardhand. And I'm going to be there, yeah, I know him. He's in, buddy. I know he's in. Why? Because I have a relationship with him. Katie Sanford? Woo! Come on, God. Let me hear those well done and good faithful. I'm waiting for it. Does anyone want that? We need that in our life. We need that in our life. You want people there that are cheering you on. Now, I know I'm going a little long this morning. But I'm telling you, you need relationships. You need people who love you more than the friendship. They love you more than being able to say, oh, we're still lunch partners. Amen. You need people who love you so much that they're willing to love you like Jesus did, who is willing to sacrifice everything in order to save you. That's what we need. So yeah, does that take some humbling, some swallowing of pride? Yeah, it does. Does that mean vulnerability? Yeah, it does. Does that mean accountability? Oh, we hate that word, but yeah, it does. But I'm telling you, you'll weather every storm. No matter how hot it gets, your roots will be deep. Look, I'm telling you, I was out working with my son yesterday. It's a lot easier to dig up rocks and weeds with someone else helping you than you doing it alone. A lot easier. Let's become the family of God that we know we are. You know, the most tragic thing in the world is to happen is to have someone go bankrupt and we never knew. Someone to have a marriage destroyed and we never knew. For someone to literally, you know, fall into rehab somewhere and we never knew. We got to open our lives. We got to let people in. Don't walk through life alone. We've been doing it too long. Too long. It's time for us to come together as a family and love each other, not just in our mouths, but through our attitudes and our actions. Amen? Amen. I know I've been strong. Why don't you stand with me?